The markets just keep falling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thank you for joining us as we continue with Fallout, our special coverage of the financial crisis. And I wish I had better news for you this Friday. Yesterday, Wall Street had one of its worst days in history. The Dow Jones Industrial Average crashed 678 points to a five-year low.
It's like standing in the middle of a hurricane, you know, with no place to hide.
That's Ted Weisberg. He's the president of Seaport Securities, and he's been a trader on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange for 40 years.
The market is basically in meltdown mode, and I would say the mood clearly was amazement and disappointment.
Ironically enough, a year ago yesterday marked the Dow's highest close ever, above 14,000 points. But these days, things feel more like this. An epically bad day for Wall Street Thursday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 7.3% to close at 8,579. The NASDAQ fell 5.5%. The S&P 500 lost more than 7.5%. Overseas markets are taking that baton and running with it this morning. Tokyo's Nikkei Index dropped 9.2%, and Germany's DAX is off more than 9%. London's FTSE is down 7%. All of these massive losses are all the more alarming because in the last couple of weeks, governments around the globe have been pulling out all the stops to try to turn the situation around. Thought we'd check in with economist Andrew Hilton. Andrew, markets all over the world are crashing in spite of all this action from the government.
Well, possibly because of the action from the government, because it always has seemed to me that it is not the job of the government to stir up panic. But unfortunately, by standing in front of the markets and saying the sky is falling and you must sign up for this or the end of the world will come, I think that the Bush administration in the U.S. and governments around the world have actually increased the sense of panic rather than reduced it.
Both the FTSE and the Dow Jones Industrial Average are at five-year lows. What does this mean for investors and for the economies in both countries?
Well, I think it's pretty devastating. I mean, it's hard to imagine anybody on either side of the pond, unless they actually work for the government these days, making any kind of major consumer purchases. And we haven't even seen the impact of that. The second round impact on the real economy is only just beginning.
Do you think it would have been better for the markets if the government had let some of these big banks fail?
Well, I think it learned its lesson with Lehman Brothers. I don't think it intended to let Lehman Brothers go. And when it did let Lehman Brothers go, it discovered just how complicated a bank like Lehman is. And I think after that, the government took a deep breath and said, we're not going to do that again.
Andrew Hilton is the director of the Center for the Study of Financial Innovation. Andrew, thank you so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
Yet more government intervention on the horizon from Uncle Sam this morning. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson explains.
The government is weighing a plan to insure all of the nation's bank deposits. Up until the bailout plan passed Congress last week, depositors were insured for up to $100,000. Lawmakers raised that limit to $250,000. Now, amidst all the market turmoil, Washington is considering removing the limits altogether. The idea is aimed at keeping individuals from pulling money out of their bank accounts and thereby weakening bank balance sheets even further. While there haven't been widespread bank runs in recent weeks, there have been reports of consumers quietly removing cash from banks. The government move, according to the Wall Street Journal, is currently only in discussion stages. It would require several government agencies to agree that there's a systemic risk to the economy. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. By the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world. Online at shrm.org. And by the American Public Transportation Association, helping America go green. You can calculate your carbon savings at publictransportation.org.
10 days ago, our New York bureau chief, Amy Scott, hit the road to help us figure out whether Wall Street had set this country on the road to ruin. Amy traveled hundreds of miles and talked to scores of people. We conclude our series today and get Amy's final reflections on what she found.
As I made my way across the eastern half of the country, I saw many ways, large and small, that people are feeling this financial crisis. There was the 60-year-old executive assistant in Pittsburgh. She may have to work another 10 years because she can no longer afford to retire. The car dealer in Cincinnati, who may have to close down because his customers can't get loans. And Steve Mawson, a hotel bellman here in St. Louis.
My tips are about two-thirds of what they were a month ago. So I thought to myself, gee, this may be a real good barometer of what's happening out there in the general economy.
I found Mawson after hearing a voice on the hotel doorman's two-way radio talking about yesterday's stock market dive. I traced the voice to the slender 67-year-old who, when he's not delivering luggage, is following the gyrations on Wall Street.
I wouldn't like to say it's an addiction of mine, but it's an extreme interest.
Mawson has been glued to market news in the past few weeks. He says he expected an even bigger drop yesterday after the SEC's ban on short selling expired. That allowed investors to bet against financial stocks again. All Mawson's money is in a single stock, a biotech company he says is actually holding up.
Two rules. One, never take the hearsay of another. Rule two, never put all your eggs in one basket. I broke both rules years ago on this one, and I fell in love with the little company, and I stayed with it, and it's done me very well. But I look at my mother, I look at others, and I see the pain they're going through.
I've seen some of that pain on this road trip, but I've also met plenty of people who are doing just fine. They've invested their money wisely, or they're just getting by on less. If I could take away one message from this trip, it's the sense that even if the economy gets a lot worse, most people I talk to truly believe it'll bounce back. In St. Louis, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
To hear more of Amy's trip, go to our website, marketplace.org, and click on The Road to Ruin. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.